property investment with a twist and the keys to finding equity in your investment. PropertyWise.
Welcome back to PropertyWise. Great to be with you, Ben Smith, and we've got Bob Anderson with us again today.
Yeah, great to be back.
Fantastic. Now, this week we're going to go through the last in our series of small developments, and we're going to take you through the final steps in the development process, being construction, titles, and the celebration of your completed project.
Whoa, let's party, Ben.
Indeed. First up, let's get straight into the headline news. This week we're going to do things a little differently. We're going to actually split the news into two sections, so we'll have a short section now and a short section a bit later on. Let's get straight into it.
Coming up in this week's PropertyWise news: borrowers need to watch fixed interest rate rises, Brisbane's recovery leads to record sales in October, and Sydney investors looking for bargains in Queensland. But first, some within the property industry have concerns that foreign interest in Australian residential property is pushing up prices. This, they say, is making it harder for local first home buyers to enter the market. McGrath Estate Agents said the current boom in the interest from Chinese buyers is the biggest surge from an offshore market they've seen in 30 years. Financial analyst Martin North agrees there is a shortage of residential property, which is forcing up prices and making it even tougher for the first home buyers. But he says foreign investors are only part of the equation. Under Foreign Investment Review Board guidelines, if a developer has pre-approval from the Foreign Investment Review Board, 100% of apartments in a new development can be sold to foreigners. According to Mr. North, some developers target the international market. They advertise on websites in China and use connections to sell off the plan, but McGrath Estate Agents felt this was quite centralised in certain pockets and not harming local buyers' opportunities. Mr. North believes the key problem is the shortage of residential property in Australia and says there need to be policy changes to ensure that a large group of Australians do not become lifelong renters. Financial comparison website RateCity said there's an established trend of fixed interest rate rises and advised borrowers to start allowing for rate increases in all mortgage decisions. RateCity says about half of all 4 and 5 year fixed rate home loans and more than one third of 3 year fixed rate home loans have seen rates increase during the past 2 months. The website said borrowers should prepare for the eventuality of higher interest rates in the future, making sure they could comfortably afford to service the loan if rates increased to or even above the historical average of around 7%. RateCity said movements in fixed rates are common and based on a number of variables, but the trend is definitely to longer-term rates drifting up. The company notes that shorter-term fixed rates have remained largely unchanged, with 1 year fixed rates as low as 4.29%, but cautions that an important factor to consider when taking a fixed rate loan is the interest rate to which the facility reverts once the fixed interest rate period is over.
Okay, let's get stuck straight into our small development section. We're talking about developing and holding here. So this is a way that you can acquire your next investment property at developer's cost price, and quite a powerful strategy for an acquisition of your next investment property.
Absolutely. You're talking of savings of maybe $60,000 to $100,000.
Absolutely. So we've been through most of the steps of the process. We're up to construction. So let's talk a little bit about what's involved in the construction process, Bob? Starting from the start, I guess, how do you find a builder?
Well, good point. I've always found that the best way is through referral from people you trust. Could be the architect, for instance. He would often come in contact with good builders. And also, you know, there's a thing called, well, I know you know, but the listeners mightn't, building brokers.
Right, yes.
Who have sourced good, reliable builders and can introduce you to those.
Absolutely. And it's always good to speak to someone who's used those builders, isn't it, just to get a bit of a feel for how the process went and so forth.
Yeah, normally you'd ask a builder for some referrals for people he'd built for in the last 12 months, two or three names. Obviously, contact them, see how they went.
Yeah, and a builder that can obviously handle the scope and size of your project, and it's used to doing that. Obviously, you don't want to get a house builder to turn around and build a big apartment complex, for example.
No, absolutely, yeah. It's horses for courses with builders, Ben.
Absolutely. Okay, so we go out, we find our builder. Now, what's the next thing we need to do? We need to basically get a contract in place with that builder, and this is obviously all leading towards getting an actual start on site.
That's right, and there's a lot of off-the-shelf contracts. Most builders are members of either Master Builders or Housing Industry, so they'll often use those contracts. Just you can get copies of those yourself, actually, and read them, get familiar with them first.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, with a building contract, I mean, there's the price, which is obviously a big, big item, and there's also the terms, which is also almost as important, including all your specifications, your plans. You want to make sure that you get your building contract very tight right at the start, and so it's very clear exactly what's included, what the price is, what all the terms are, so that the construction process runs smoothly.
That's right. And if you want to consult an expert on things like building contracts, there are lawyers, property lawyers, some of those specialise in contracts, and also quantity surveyors, very much up to pace on them as well.
Right, absolutely. Okay, so we've found a builder, we've got a contract in place, we've negotiated a price that we're happy with. Now we're pretty much ready to get a start on site and get moving.
Okay, well, let's get cracking.
Fantastic. So, I mean, the main role that as you as a developer will have on site is to really just attend the site meetings and do your site visits and make sure that things are going smoothly and answer any questions the builder may have. Things will come up during the construction process that will need to be clarified.
Yeah, because some of those clarifications often have to do with design, where the builder can communicate directly with the architect. So it's not so much a technical thing that you have to comply with. It's more, you know, like keeping things running smoothly, I guess.
Yeah, making a presence, you know, being there, being that we go every week to most of our sites, and the builder knows you're coming. You know, they're going to make sure things are ticking along and they're doing the job they should be.
Yeah, and even if you've got a full-time job, you can easily slip in a site meeting before work. Builders like to start early.
That's right, yeah, get in there at 7 or 7.30 and get one done and then slip off to work.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've got things moving on site. Now, one of the key parts of the construction process where you will be involved is the claims. Typically, we have a monthly claim where the builder will put forward his invoice, if you like, for works completed during that month.
Yeah, that's right, and it's the quantity surveyor in most cases. If it's a project of maybe 3 or 4 or more, there'll be a quantity surveyor appointed by the bank, and he'll check out that the builder's really done what he said he's done and that the claim's okay. If it's just a little project, little 2, maybe a 3, often it could be a valuer that'll just tick the box on behalf of the bank.
Yeah, so the bank just wants to know, I guess, that everything that the builder says he's done, he has done, and that they're right to go ahead and pay that claim.
Yeah, happy days for the builder.
Absolutely. So the builder gets paid and work continues.
Yeah, and we normally get the bank to pay the builder direct. Right at the beginning, we give get the builder to give the bank the instruction. So it's a pretty seamless operation, really. The money just, if you like, the QS or the valuer ticks it off, the bank says all good, and the money flows into the builder's account. There's nothing happier than a builder with money in his account, Ben.
Absolutely. And that's, I guess, as the developer, that's really what you want to make sure is happening, that the builder's getting paid on time and that so that works continue smoothly. Okay, so let's talk about variations briefly, Bob. This is something that happens during construction where things come up that need to be accounted for as a variation.
Yeah, well, the minimum amount of variations is always a good thing. So it's a matter of initially, I suppose, if you've got a good tight contract, everything's included in the plans. The plans are detailed and the specifications in good detail. That leaves less opportunity for variations, and that's a good thing. But if there are, look, there's things that you can't control, things below the ground, which we know very well. It might hit a little bit of rock, okay, well, that could be a variation.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's counted as a latent condition. So no one can tell, obviously, what's below the ground, and that's a genuine variation where you will have to pay to have that rock removed.
Yeah, and there might be some little tweaks and done along the way that, now, of course, a variation could be a plus or minus. That's the other thing, isn't it, Ben?
Right, yeah, absolutely. If there's some savings along the way, and the contract allows, you could be the beneficiary of those savings, and so you'd have a what would essentially be a negative variation.
Yeah, and the good thing is, of course, is that there's always a contingency in the loan, often about 5% of the construction price, and so those variations, if they're legitimate, can come from that contingency.
Right, absolutely. So you definitely want to make sure that you've allowed a contingency up front to cover off any of those unforeseen items.
The banks pretty well make you put in that one now anyway, so it's there.
Indeed. Okay, so we've got through the variations and we've got through construction, and let's talk about the back end of the process, the handover with the builder. What do we want to look out for there? How do we handle a handover?
Well, you do more handovers than I am. It probably should be you, but once again, we like to get an expert in there, don't we, Ben?
Yeah, that's right. So we normally engage a professional handovers company that will come in and do a professional inspection. Usually they're ex-builders, so they know exactly what they're looking for. I mean, we can go around and do our own inspection, and we do that as well, but it's good to get the experts engaged. They'll pick up things that you never would have thought of or never would have seen yourself being, you know, professionals at what they do.
That's right. And a little list of those things are done up for the builder to rectify within a fairly short time. And then his final payment's all organised. So good happy days for the builder. He's finished the job. He'll get his final payment. He'll touch up any little defects that need doing. And we're on to the next stage.
Yeah, and he'll hand over the keys. And essentially that's your handover. You got your keys. Then you can go forward and rent them, or in this case, rent them if you're holding your stock.
Yeah, exactly. You just get the certificate of occupancy and you can have tenants in there straight away.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, what we might do now, let's cut over to the second half of the headline news, and then we'll come back and wrap up with plan sealing and titles, and then the finalisation being the holding or the selling of your stock.
Place Real Estate said they sold more than $80 million worth of residential property in Brisbane in October. Place took the record sales month as an indication Brisbane's property market is strengthening, especially in the sub $1 million price bracket. In addition to the strong sales figures in the Inner East and Inner North, the real estate agency has also found time on the market for listed properties has significantly reduced, while auction clearance rates have increased. This is in part due to pent-up demand from buyers since floods hit Brisbane in 2011. Place said the strength of Brisbane's market showed the recovery is not just limited to Sydney. The estate market added that the Brisbane market is exceptionally strong and they expect this to continue, building into a solid year in 2014. And finally this week, it may be just anecdotal, but real estate agents and analysts say Sydney buyers are switching their attention to Brisbane, where relative bargains still exist. According to the Real Estate Institute of Queensland, a significant portion of the real estate recovery in Brisbane is being attributed to interstate and overseas investment. The attraction for Sydney investors, who are dealing with price growth of 11% this year, is Brisbane's comparatively sedate growth of 4%. And that's it for PropertyWise News.
Okay, so let's talk about plan sealing and titles. And just before the news, we spoke about getting tenants right in. And that's an important point if you're going to be holding your stock. You don't have to wait to have your plan sealed and have your actual title before you can actually get a tenant straight in and start getting a return on your investment. As soon as you got that certificate of occupancy, basically at the back end of construction, you get your tenants right in there and start making a return.
Yeah, that's great, because remember, you're paying interest at the back end of the project, so the sooner you get the cash flow rolling in, the better.
And at that point, obviously, your loan's fully drawn, so you're paying the full amount of interest. So, yeah, that's the way to go. If your intention's to hold, start lining up an agent early if you're going to use an agent, and get them on the market and get your tenants in there straight after the certificate of occupancy. So nonetheless, we still need to go through the other parts of the process in most cases, and that is the plan sealing and the titles. So let's just have a quick discussion on that, Bob. What's involved in the plan sealing?
Well, the plan sealing is done by the council, typically. So what we've done, the builder's finished, the surveyor's gone in, he's done the final survey. If we're doing, let's say, some townhouses, he would have surveyed common property, the actual physical apartments or townhouses themselves. So he draws up a survey plan, and we lodge that at the council. And council have to check off that the plan's right, and of course that we've managed to tick off all the conditions of the original development approval. That's pretty important. Once that's done, that's when we have to pay some contributions.
Yep, absolutely.
They seal it, and sealing it means simply they sign off. And now we've got a plan of subdivision signed off by the council.
So basically the council's saying, yes, you've developed it in accordance with our expectations and the approval, and then we're going to take that plan, that sealed plan, off to what's typically the Department of Natural Resources, and they will then issue the individual title. So let's say it was four townhouses, you would have had a single title to start with that you built those townhouses on, and now you're going to trot off and get your actual individual titles for those four properties.
That's right, yeah. Whatever state government department handles titles in your state, that's where it ends up. And we need those titles, of course, well, for two reasons. If we're going to keep them, the bank wants the individual titles, and that's where the most value is. If we're going to sell them, well, we need the titles to sell them.
Absolutely, because that's really the value, isn't it? Once you've got those titles, that's kind of... You've got four properties, so now you can go off and, like you said, you can refinance against those four properties individually. You can sell them. So that's really the culmination of the whole development, getting those titles in your hands. You finally got there and you can now go and profit from it in whichever way you choose.
Yeah, and you want to do that as fast as you can. Once the builder's done, you want to get those titles as quickly as possible. So because you're incurring interest. Get everything lined up ahead of time. That's always the rule. Be proactive, eh?
Absolutely. Okay, so we've got to the end of the process. Now what? Obviously, in context of this discussion, most of our listeners would be looking to hold the completed stock as a long-term investment. And obviously, you've reaped the benefit of the development profit, basically as equity into your completed property. You may otherwise choose to sell some of the stock. There's options, isn't there?
That's the tremendous thing about this strategy, Ben, of developing is you can hold if you do get long-term growth, and there are tax advantages in regards to, you know, should you ever sell it downstream. Or if you want cash, you want cash flow, just sell them. It's income. So great. You can, we all mix the both.
Mm.
You want some good cash flow? Great. You want to keep some for a long-term investment? Well, keep some, sell some.
That's it, isn't it? Build four, sell two, keep two. I mean, you just stack it up and do it to suit your own needs.
Mm.
And then, the most important thing, celebrate.
Ah, celebrate, yeah. Look, don't ever forget to reward yourself at the end of a project. Throw a party.
Absolutely. Invite your friends over to mess up one of the units before you go rent it.
Yeah, one you're going to keep. So that's always good. We always celebrate at the end of a project. In fact, sometimes if it's a bit of a larger project even, we'll throw a party. We love throwing parties, Ben. Hey, at any excuse to throw a party.
That's right.
And we'll invite the builder over, some of the tradies perhaps, financier,
yep.
Valuers.
Yep.
Anybody.
Accountant, architect, anyone.
Yep.
We'll have anyone there. It's a good chance to get together and celebrate all the hard work, because it is a process, and getting to that end point is something worth celebrating.
Yeah, and some of the people like to come back and see the finished product. You know, financiers, they'll lend you the money. Sometimes they never even get to see the product.
That's right. That's right. And it helps build relationships as well for future projects.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, that's going to wrap up our last show in the series on small developments. Thanks very much for joining us. We do welcome you to jump onto the website and comment. We do value those comments. We read all of them. And we do have a questions section on the website where you can go in. And if you've got any questions about anything relating to the show, or any general property questions, we'd love you to pop those questions in there, and we will answer them live on the show in future episodes. So stay tuned, and we look forward to being with you again for the next episode.
See you then.